Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the megacity metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and for this episode, we are very pleased to have once again visiting the Cave, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Valiant Comics, a larger-than-life wrestling fan who is second to none when it comes to cutting a Valiant Comics promo, the one and only Matthew Klein. Matthew, thank you for coming back to the Cave. How are you doing?
I don't know who you're talking about, Eric. I think you've got the wrong person on today.
No, I don't.
But you know what? When in doubt, I'll take the intro. Thank you for that. I'm really excited to be back. It's been a little while.
It has. It's been just a year and a bit. And the last time that we were able to chat, I think you may have hinted, but you couldn't say anything. You had just finished a meeting that you were very, very happy about. And I'm wondering if that meeting was the one where you found out you were going to be the new VP of marketing and sales for Valiant Comics.
I am positive it was not that meeting.
Okay. Because it was in November.
Meeting, but I don't think the time quite works.
Okay.
But no, I'm trying to remember back. I'll be honest with you, Eric. I'm having a lot of exciting meetings lately.
Yeah, that's great.
We've been having a ton of exciting meetings about the Bloodshot movie. We're really excited for the books coming up, like X-Men Manowar. We finally got to announce The Final Witness, which I've been sitting on for like months and months and months. I couldn't wait for the fans to hear about. We've been sitting on... When is this airing? Is it airing after the 17th?
It can if you wanted to.
Then I can also drop a little knowledge that we've got a new Shadow Man book that I've been excited to announce for months. Literally sitting with pages there from the incredible John Davis Hunt and Cullen Bunn that's going to be coming out in May. That's getting the treatment thanks to the announcement on GameSpot. So it's a really exciting time, and just like every day, it feels like something new is coming across my desk that makes me excited to be a fan of Valiant, excited to be a fan of comics. And then, of course, I check the wrestling blogs, and then I have other reasons to, you know, feel terrible about life, but that's okay.
Okay.
That's the burden of being a pro wrestling fan these days, though. The conversation's never civil.
Yes. That's hilarious. Okay, so before we get into all of the Valiant comic talk, I got to ask you about the pro wrestling, because if I would have known you were a pro wrestling fan the last time we spoke, I would have asked you a couple questions. Now, bear in mind, I am not a as modern day pro wrestling fan. When I was a kid, I was a huge Mark back in the late 90s.
What did you follow? Was it WWF or was it
at
NWA?
The height of it?
Were you a Mid-South guy?
As a little kid, it was WWF because that was what was available most readily.
Sure.
And then in the teenage years, it was both WCW, WWE. If they were coming to Toronto, I was going. WrestleMania 18 was there. The first Nitro, I was there.
Ooh, Sky Dome.
Yeah, the Sky Dome. So
did
I got to
WrestleMania 6. Were you able to get a ticket?
No, but I remember that next morning when I opened the door and I saw the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan splashed on the front page as though it were like something really, really important had happened. It was pretty special. So very vivid memories.
Did you get to go to the Maple Leaf Gardens for your shows?
As a kid, you know, my dad didn't take me to the wrestling shows. My first wrestling show would have been at the Sky Dome. It was a house show for just before, actually, the Montreal Screwjob.
Really?
Yeah, so I watched a lot of wrestling and pay-per-views as a kid, but then it was the house match that was, I think, on repeat that that they had at the Calgary Stampede, or I forgot what it was called, that really, really famous Calgary pay-per-view where the Hart family was
yeah.
Six-man tag.
Calgary Stampede, it was, I think it was...
In your house
it was
or something.
It was July 97.
Yeah, that's right. It was like a huge success.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, man, that's still one of the greatest pops of all time was during their entrance. Like, I still get chills. Whenever I watch that show and see the reaction to that. Like, if I could go back in time and, like, for just a pop and go to a certain show, like, that's one I might really want to be in the building for.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of WrestleMania 18. Even though I was there, I didn't feel like the main event was as good as it should have been. But seeing Hogan and The Rock and that crowd...
Well, that was the problem. Hogan Rock needed to go on last. Yeah. The whole crowd is deflated. You have no energy.
Yeah.
And the title scene, you know, with Jericho and Triple H was pretty good. All the Stephanie stuff was pretty cool, but you, I mean, they had such magic in the match before. Like, there was no way.
You're going to top
that. No way you were going to top that.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like Triple H has fallen into that trap a few times in his career, right? You have WrestleMania 18 and then WrestleMania 25, him and Randy Orton goes after Michaels Undertaker in, like, the greatest match of all time.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, you know, Trips, you're just not in the hottest storyline. It's a shame. It's quite a challenge.
So what was your entry into the world of professional wrestling?
So I was 2 years old, and my big sister, who's about 10 years older than me, sat me down in front of the TV to keep me quiet one day, and she said, "That's Hulk Hogan." And from the time I'm 2 years old, I was like late 88, early 89, I just became hooked. I was a diehard Hulk maniac. I still have like the cut-up T-shirt from when I was 3 years old. My mom kept it. And that's the bandana awesome. That I was Hulk Hogan for Halloween when I was 3 years old. And from there, like, I just kept in it. Shawn Michaels became my guy. And I grew up in Philadelphia, so WWF was the ruler of the Northeast. I would go to the Spectrums. My very first show was SummerSlam 1990, Ultimate Warrior versus Rick Rude in the cage.
That's a good one.
No, my favorite match on the card, though, is easily the 2 out of 3 falls tag title.
I was just going to say.
Demolition and the Hart Foundation.
I was just going to say that was the Hart Foundation demolition, yeah.
Yep, Hart Foundation wins the titles for the second time. It was amazing. And then, like, I would just, every time they were in town, my folks were, you know, they would scrounge it up and they would make sure I go. And I got to go to WrestleMania 15, was my first WrestleMania.
Austin Rock,
in the main event.
Yeah, that was the one where Austin forgot his vest at home.
What was it?
When Austin forgot to bring his vest with him, and he came out with a T-shirt.
Dude, I remember when that happened, and he came out, and I was like, why is he wearing a T-shirt? Like, I actually remember having that thought.
And it was the worst T-shirt of the bunch, too. Like, it wasn't even the skull, the flaming skull.
No, it was just like, I think it was the one where it's like half sort of his face, and then it blues into like the skull or something. It wasn't even just a straight up Austin 316 shirt, I don't think. I think it was like graphic on there.
Yeah, it was a weird choice for a shirt.
No, so I got hooked on the babyface, man. Like, I was a big Hulk Hogan fan. I was a Jake Roberts fan. Mm. I liked Macho Man, but I really got more into Macho as I got older and could really kind of like appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until like 92 I started to be able to really check out like the NWA and WCW, they came to Philly for Halloween Havoc. So Halloween Havoc 92, one of the worst shows in the history of that company, was my first foray into WCW. But it was so different that I remember like just watching the VHS over and over and over again, trying to cope with something different. And then 97 was the one year of my life I kind of got out of it.
Really?
Well, it's weird. So when Hogan turned heel in 96, I stopped watching WCW for 2 years.
Wow. Those are like the...
It broke my heart.
Oh, right.
It broke my heart. Like, it squashed me. And I was like, I will never watch WCW again. I will never watch Hulk Hogan. So, like, it worked, and it kind of didn't work because I was nine. I was heartbroken.
Right.
And then, like, I was not a Stone Cold fan at first. I was a Bret Hart guy.
Me too. I was a huge, huge Bret Hart mark. And he was becoming, you know, the crybaby, the whiner. So at the same time that Hogan was a bad guy, my favorite wrestler as a kid was turning into a bad guy. And I was in that same boat of like, I don't want to watch this, but I couldn't keep my eyes away from it because it was so good. Yeah.
Now, do you have like a top three or top five Bret Hart matches of all time?
Oh, man, you know what my problem is, Matt, is that whenever I think of my favorite matches, it always turns into my favorite Bret Hart matches, which is not the most unbiased place to go to talk about wrestling. But I love SummerSlam 92. Like, the matches where he loses are some of the best Bret Hart matches.
Like, which ones are you thinking?
So, the Davey Boy Smith at SummerSlam 92, Wembley Stadium. Like, what a performance he put on. Really putting, I didn't understand the art of putting someone over. Because now I can really appreciate Ric Flair and how many careers he made. I didn't realize it at the time, what was really happening in the match. But SummerSlam 92 is just a work of art. SummerSlam 91 against Mr. Perfect. And of course, 13 with Stone Cold. Very different type of match, but a perfect example of what wrestling is when it comes to psychology. Not so much high spots, but how to really tell a story. And just a little tidbit, you might know this because you're a fan, but when I got a chance to meet Bret Hart in Toronto at Comic-Con, and the one question I asked him was, what was that moment where you were most excited to put the sharpshooter on somebody? And it was WrestleMania 13. He couldn't wait.
I think that is easily, that sounds like a Bret answer. Like, yeah. I totally believe that.
I thought it would have maybe been like WrestleMania 12 against Shawn, because you know the history between them. And that's another one where he lost, and it was a fantastic match. Like, an hour never seemed to go.
People hate on that match now, and I just, like, y'all are some sour grapes. Because that match is brilliant.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
They cut a pace for an hour and build the tension and anticipation for an hour. That's like, now, like, people who were 10 years old then look back and I go, well, of course nothing was going to happen until the last 3 minutes, so it's boring. And you're like, screw you. You were on every single near fall throughout that match, and on the last 10 minutes, you were standing in your living room on pins and needles, just like I was. Don't even play. Yeah. Like, that is a brilliant work of art. I will defend that one to the death. But, hey, listen, you picked a bunch of matches where Bret won. He wins 13. He wins does. SummerSlam 91.
He does, yeah. But WrestleMania 12 and SummerSlam 92, two of his most well-known losses, probably two of his best matches, I would say.
I don't disagree, and I agree with you. I think SummerSlam 92, Vince was in the crowd on headset. He's watching that match, and I guarantee you that that's the match when he saw how that was done. He went, that's my world champ.
Yeah.
Now you're ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's the moment where Bret Hart was ready for the main event.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens, right? You lose the IC title, and then you become the main event guy.
Yeah.
Austin lost the IC title in total BS fashion to Rock. He goes on to win in 98. Like, there's great precedence for the Intercontinental Champion then moving up to another tier at that point.
And they usually
the U.S. title in WCW all the time.
Yeah.
For stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure. So how about you? Which one?
Well, we can talk wrestling forever.
We can. We can definitely go on a tangent. So maybe we should get back to some comic talk.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about comics.
Oh, one more wrestling question. How do you feel about the AEW? Because it looks really, really good. Are you watching it?
Dude, I'm keeping track of it. Like, I check in here and there. Like, I think I don't see it as the alternative that they've touted themselves as being.
Mm-hmm.
I see them as different enough, but I don't. But I think, look, you've got amazing talent over there. I love Kenny Omega. I'm one of those guys that agrees. I think Cody, you know, if Cody had a different shake and had a little bit more creative freedom, or they felt more confident in him, maybe he could have gone on to bigger heights. You know, I love what Jon Moxley is doing over there. I don't necessarily agree with everything he's saying in terms of talking about the company and what he was doing, but, you know, each their own. He was there, I wasn't. I think Chris Jericho is the gift that will give forever.
Mm-hmm.
That man could do this probably into his 70s. So I think they've got some great momentum going, and I'm excited to see them continue to grow, and they've got more years to do it, and they're going to have more content to do it with. And, you know, they had some stumbling blocks out of the gate, but, you know, that happens with any new TV product. Like, to learn how to produce 52 weeks of new content every year is not something you learn overnight, and I think they've done an amazing job at it. I just am not one of those guys that sees this as the true alternative to WWE. I don't think that this is the second coming of a Monday night or a Wednesday night or whatever. I will argue that I think NXT is a stronger, tighter product, and I don't think there's any way they couldn't be, because they've had more years under their belt putting together those storylines and characters and producing television. So I don't think it's not that AEW won't be. I just don't believe that they came out of the gate as the best product in wrestling.
Right.
So that's kind of where I fall on it. And I'm sorry, but when you have a story like the Dark Order and you have, you know, Cody Rhodes getting 10 lashes, you know, they are recycling a ton of storylines from NWA in 89, in the 80s, like it even some WCW in the 2000s kind of stuff. It's there. So I don't fall into the whole idea that, like, oh, they're this completely fresh, original, never been done before sort of thing that I see some people on the forums talk about. It's like, no, they're reusing tropes the same way WWE reuses tropes. And it's not all competition-based. They're doing super... They literally have a character who's an alien in the women's division. This is not grounded reality, sports-oriented wrestling. I'm sorry, guys.
Right.
You can't just reset wins and loss records willy-nilly when you feel like you need a change. I mean, you can, but that's not a legitimate sport. Like, set the idea of what a season is or how many you have. Like, lay out more rules and stuff like that. And by the way, TNA did a top 10 forever ago. WCW and the NWA in the late 80s did a top 10. Like, this is, again, it's nothing new in that sense. Mm-hmm. What's new is just that we haven't seen this type of presentation for it in a while outside of WWE, and you're getting to see a lot of really awesome talent get a spotlight that hasn't had it before. So I wish them all the success in the world. I'm going to keep watching. I think they have some phenomenal stuff going on, but I'm not going to be one of those guys that's just like, oh, they're the second coming to pro wrestling. No, NXT was the second coming of pro wrestling because they basically became ROH with a budget.
Right.
It's one of those, if anything, Ring of Honor was the second coming of professional wrestling that we're all still benefiting from to this day. So I will fight the folks on Twitter and social media about that. Come at me at Matthew Klein 316 any day, twice on Sunday.
There you go. We got to do a second channel of the Cave of Solitude. It's just Matthew Klein talking wrestling. The Ring of Solitude.
Give me a ring, man. We'll come up with it.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get into some news of Valiant Comics. It's the 30th year, right, since it's originally...
30th year since the very first books were
That's
published.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. So yeah, congratulations on being a part of that.
Sorry? What's so it feel like to be a part of that?
I said congratulations for being part of the 30th year of Valiant being, you know, still going strong and coming out with new exciting product and a movie coming up. That's amazing.
Dude, it's an incredible time to be, you know, part of the Valiant universe. Yeah, we crossed the 30th threshold. We crossed it before Image, High Image. we're outside of Marvel and DC to be actively publishing right now, 30 years afterwards. It's pretty amazing. And then, you know, we've got the first movie coming out with Vin Diesel in there, the title character, which makes it not just a comic book movie, but it makes it a bigger and even more event movie just on its own, which is incredible. I hope you guys have been checking out the trailers and the teasers and the posters that are out there. More is coming. And then just announced the partnership with Blowfish Studios for multiple video games that I cannot. It is so hard for me to keep a lid on. And we got tons of other stuff going on, new partnerships by the day, new ventures into there, the Faith YA novel, it's a whole new ground that we're breaking. So it's, you know, we're a company that's thriving. We're a company that's continuing to expand its reach into all different platforms. And, you know, and for the fans who've waited for so long for this moment, like, I cannot talk about my appreciation enough for all those fans who've been dreaming to see, you know, Bloodshot on the big screen, a Valiant character on the big screen, to get that notice, to get that validation, to see their heroes represented up there, to come back to that level. Like, it's amazing, and it's a real privilege to get to be a part of the company at this point in time, when all this incredible success that's been laid down by all the people who came before me, all the people who are here now, and that's going to be continued with all the ones yet to come, because Valiant is here, and Valiant, I don't see us going away anytime ever, quite frankly. We're just going to keep running this thing well after I'm gone from this earth. That's my plan.
That's really reassuring to hear, because, you know, you never know with this market. The comic books and publishing in this industry can be very tricky, and you really have to know what you're doing, and it's almost always a gamble, depending on what people
you
are into at any moment. Yeah, exactly.
You never get complacent, right? The key is that you always want to just keep building and building and building, tell the best stories, work with the best talent, and you know what? They work out in ways that you planned, and sometimes they work out in ways that you didn't plan, and you keep moving forward, and you keep saying, you know what? If the characters are there, if the storytelling is there, if the talent is there, if the hunger is there, you will find a way to keep going. You will find a way to thrive in this industry, because we are storytellers. That's what it's about. It's about the characters. It's about the stories. It's about the catharsis and the passion that you bring to it. It's about the escapism that you offer. It's about the excitement that you provide. It's about telling a compelling story that you have to read the next chapter of and you wish it was tomorrow. If you stick to those guns and you remember all along that it's about the readers that you're doing this for, you will be here forever. I truly believe that. No matter the cycles, and you look at the sales charts, and you look at, you know, queue levels, and you look at the driving factors of the market and collectability and all that stuff, and no matter the ups and downs of the industry, no matter the cycles, you can always stick with it if you stick to those basic tenets that's about the characters, about the quality of the stories, and it's about making sure that fans know you've got the best storytelling in the business, and here's where you can find it.
Right.
And if you stick to those guns, you'll be in this... you'll be in the industry forever.
Yeah, and based upon the talent, like I've said before, and I even said on another podcast just recently, I was talking about how much I love Valiant Comics on like a solo episode. But the creators that are attracted to working with the company, whether they're superstars or even up-and-coming people, it does say a lot about how much fun they're having working on these books. So that's always a good sign.
It's a phenomenal sign, and I'll be honest, there are announcements about talent coming in to work on books coming up that I am just, like, blown away on, that I wish I could tell you guys right now, but I'd rather have all the artwork and all the details all at once and just spread out the good news all year long. But Valiant 2020 is a real potential game changer for this company, and even going into what we got planned for 2021, like, it's... we're looking that far out. We're planning that far out. We've got stories to tell that are already in the works that far out. And that's one of the things that I love about this place, is that we, and I hear it from retailers all the time, I hear it from fans all the time, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe how far out you have pages for that book. I can't believe how far out you're planning your schedule already. I can't believe how far out you guys are working. It's like, yeah, it's not necessarily the norm at every comic book company, but that's the standard we hold ourselves to. And that's the key. As long as you hold yourself to that high standard, you're going to deliver.
Right. So with that in mind, like, one of the things I've always said I love about Valiant is that the series are finite. Like, you can collect and read a full series of, you know, The Eternal Warrior. It'll be 14 to 16 issues, and you can have it collected in a nice hardbound deluxe edition. But is that length of the series decided in advance and you guys follow through for the sake of the story, or is it ever changed based on sales figures or response? Because one of the things... Okay.
Sometimes I start out as four issues, and then we see the scripts coming in and we go, you know what? Maybe we'll get a full year to 2 years out of this. Sometimes we plan to go, you know, 2 years, and we say, you know what? We found a great ending point here at 16 issues, and we do it that way. Sometimes sales has to have their day in it. Sometimes reception has their day in it, and it can blow up and it can cut things short. It's like any other company. We're no different in that sense.
Okay.
So I've seen it go any and every single way in terms of the length of the series there.
Yeah, because the longest series...
And you'll notice, too, it's like even our miniseries, like we've got some that are four issues, we got some that are five, we got some that are six, we got some that are eight, we got some that are 12, we got some that are 25. It's one of those things where, you know, it's not about a finite length of how long something should last, but how long does it take to tell this great story?
Right.
That's what we focus on first.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because when I go on, I read a lot of reviews, and the equivalent of, I guess, the Rotten Tomatoes for comics is the Comic Book Roundup. I don't know
comic
if you've
book
ever...
Comic Book Roundup.
Yeah, and when you go on to Valiant, when I'm looking for the next book to pick up from Valiant of something that I haven't read yet... everything's in the green, meaning that in this case, it's not a Rotten Tomato. It's certified fresh, and it's an 8 or above when it comes to the quality of the books on aggregate, which says a lot about the overall quality of the line. So whatever you're doing, it's working as far as the quality of the books, whether the length gets shortened or series get extended. Because I think the longest one was Exo Manowar, right? That went for 50 or so issues?
Yeah, nearly. Issues? I mean, if you count the one-shots and the anniversary specials and tie-ins to things like Armor Hunters, and yeah, it crossed well over 50 issues.
Right.
But you know what? I look at, you know, look at the current Quantum of Woody that just came out a couple weeks ago. I think the storytelling punch in this four-issue arc is absolutely on par with everything, if not even crazier than what came before it, right? So it's one of the things, and I think that it's, you know, it's a different style of storytelling and a different genre, but I don't discount it any less just because of its length to a 50-issue run of a character.
Right.
Again, it's a different style of storytelling, and that's what we like to offer. We have something for literally every type of reader out there, mm-hmm. and that's what's great about it. But yes, pick up Quantum Woody at your local shop because it's absolutely freaking amazing. Christopher Hastings, Ryan Brown, they are just destroying it on this. it is some of the most fun you could possibly have in comics right now.
That's awesome.
There's my plug.
So... let's talk a little bit about the books being released in 2020 because it is exciting and they look, based on the website, the preview pages that you do see, they look amazing. So what are some of the things that are coming out in the next couple of weeks and the upcoming months as well?
So talk a little bit about Quantum and Woody. We've got four issues already mapped out for that. We've got more coming down the road, it looks like. And Quantum Woody is just the craziest Deadpool meets the Hangover, world's worst superhero duo you could possibly imagine. They got brain monsters and figure skating murders and U.S. Capitol being attacked. And then there's some space stuff coming. Like, it's ridiculous. But then you got something, Dr. Tomorrow, which comes out February 19th.
Yes, tell me about that.
This incredible aspirational story about a 13-year-old boy who ends up meeting the greatest hero in the Valiant Universe, who is actually himself. And the journey that you take to get there, or the journey and how that journey could possibly go awry. And that's a gorgeous story from Alejandro Arbarna and Jim Toe. Robert Myers, our senior editorial director, has done a bang-up job getting this thing ready. And it's a new flavor from us. You know, this is a book that anybody can pick up and read. Fathers and their sons, mothers and their daughters. This is a family book that anybody can share, which is something that is really exciting for us to offer. Then coming March 25th, you have the Exo Manowar from Dennis Hallam and Emilio Lasso, and this is Exo amped up to about 50. I love the new villains in here. I love his new status quo. His relationship with Sean Hara gets fleshed out a way that you've never quite seen before. It's really exciting, and I'll be honest, I think that this Exo, you're going to care more about Exo than you ever have in the history of the character.
Wow.
You will be with him every step of the way and every struggle as he is building, you know, a new sense of community in this world and what it means to be a hero in the 21st century. Then coming up in April is The Final Witness from Ray Fox and Jeremy Hahn. This is a super-powered serial killer murder mystery set in the Valiant Universe. This is absolutely unlike anything else you've seen from this company. Especially in the last 7 years. I'm so excited. If you're a crime fan, if you're a noir fan, if you're a true crime fan, if you're somebody that likes something a little bit on the darker and very character-driven side, it's a really phenomenal ensemble chase book trying to hunt down, again, the super-powered serial killer that's terrorizing San Francisco. It all centers around a cop, a journalist, a brand-new hero on the scene, and a potential criminal as well, all trying to track and break down this case, and it is stellar. More pages to that to come. You're going to see a lot of taste on that. And what I really love about that, too, is we're doing something crazy where we actually have a special cover that's a 1 in 25 incentive, so tell your local shop. That is a special decoder variant where there's actually a clue hidden on the book that pertains to the rest of the series. So if you want a little bit of a sneak peek after issue one, you can find it on this variant and decode the message. It's awesome. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in the history of comics quite like this before. It's so cool. And then by the time this drops, also we'll have announced the new Shadow Man in May. And this is Shadow Man truly as a horror hero book. This is horror first, superhero second, if anything. And this is a year-long odyssey that Cullen Bunn and John Davis Hunt are committed to. Every issue has a brand new terror to deal with, and it circles up in this incredibly beautiful quest of an overarching arc. We're doing, you'll have seen probably at this point, the horror movie homage variants as well, which is some of the most fun I've seen editorial have with the program. Those are regular shelf copies. There's no qualifier on that. And, you know, and it's just insane. So that's what we got coming up January through May of this year. We've been teasing out some of the books that are coming out in the second half of the year already. So keep your eyes peeled to, you know, the Valiant stuff on Twitter, Instagram, at Valiant Comics. And then if you haven't, there's a way, too, if you sign up for the weekly newsletter, The Valiant Voice, where we drop exclusive sneak peeks, exclusive teasers, so that you guys who are out there, that are the diehards, know about stuff before anybody else. So if you're not subscribed to that, look for it online. There are ways to do it.
Awesome. So I have to ask you, I know we're coming to a close for our conversation, but I have to ask you, have you seen the Bloodshot movie yet?
I have seen a movie.
Oh.
That Bloodshot was in.
Okay. And the excitement that you had before for the movie, it's legitimate? Or for this movie that Bloodshot was in?
It's pretty legit, dude. It's pretty legit.
Okay.
Look, it's no secret. Like, you know, a lot of companies, you know, you have to start hyping the movie before you ever get to see the full cut that's all locked in with all the VFX.
Of course.
And so there's always a little bit of you that goes, man, I wonder if it's going to live up to everything that we want it to. I think people are going to be really happy.
Okay, good.
I will never forget the day that we saw the first trailer in the office and all of us just stood up. And we're grinning ear to ear, and just we could not stop talking about it and playing it all day long. Like it's really, really exciting. The excitement is palpable here. The anticipation, the hype. You know, we're really proud that that the fans are going to get this.
Yeah,
we're really, really excited about, you know, all the folks who made it happen.
I'm excited for it, like I would be for a Marvel movie. I'll be honest. I'm not a big Vin Diesel fan, but because this is the first Valiant movie, I'm super stoked for it. What made Bloodshot the one to start with for you guys?
I think it all comes down to the story. It was the first one that was ready. That they found a visionary for, and Dave Wilson, and Dave went out and, you know, with all the producers on the film to get Vin Diesel on board there. And, you know, I think it was just a matter of that everything was in place at the right time for Bloodshot in terms of the leadoff.
Right. So as the VP of sales, if people wanted to start reading Bloodshot, where would be a good place for them to jump onto this book? Because the movie's coming out, they're going to see what comic book character. Maybe they didn't realize there's more than just Marvel and DC out there. What would you recommend for them to start reading?
So for people going in from the movie who want to get some more and see where the character and the story is based on, I'd pick up the Bloodshot Definitive Edition. That's out now. It's available in shops. You're going to see more copies on the shelf in the coming weeks. And it's the first 13 issues, I want to say, of the 2012 series, all in one go. So for a really nice price, you have literally what would be the equivalent of three stories in one collection.
Yes.
Go home, devour that thing, jump in further. And then I'll be honest, like, I think that right now, the Tim Seeley and Brett Booth series that's going on, you literally can know nothing about comics, and you can jump into that first book. It's, you know, it's $9.99 US. It's available everywhere. It will get you all the adrenaline you could possibly ask for in a day, just in that first chapter. So if you want to go in just based on the movie and learn a little bit more that way, go with the Definitive Edition. If you just want a crazy Bloodshot story that you can jump in now and get caught up with where Bloodshot's at, I would go with Bloodshot Book 1 from Tim Seeley and Brett Booth.
Awesome. So there,
two different price points, two different approaches. And that's the kind of variety we provide our fans.
Yeah, and that Definitive Edition, I just recently bought and read it because I hadn't read the first 2012 series. I started reading with Jeff Lemire with his series, and it was much better than I expected it to be, and the price point for it was phenomenal. Like, you get a lot of bang for your buck, and it's, as always, you know, the quality of the story and the art was really, really strong. So I'm excited for this Bloodshot movie to come. Well, thank you, Matt. I know that you're pressed for time. Hopefully you could come back and we could get into a little bit more wrestling talk and comic talk, because I got some more questions lined up for you as the VP. I got to talk to the vice president.
I'm just the VP, I promise. That's okay. All I am.
All right.
Thank you so much. It's a great time to be here. I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, let's definitely find a time. We'll do it again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate it.
You got it, Eric. Have a great one, man.
You too, buddy.